Parsha Shemois is really the parsha that introduces us to a clash of personalities. You know, we've got Paroi, Lahavdil have Moshe Rabbeinu. We have the all-powerful Rabbeinu Shleilam showing who's boss. It's very much, you know, a showdown between Koyach HaToiv against Koyach HaRa, with absolutely low limitations by Kodesh Baruch Hu's Koyach HaToiv. Kodesh Baruch Hu over here is willing to show Nisim Geluyim, to show Klal Yisrael what it's capable of. But beyond that, I think this parasha has more than anything is the koyach that human being has within himself. Yes, the Kodesh Baruch Hu take us out of Mitzrayim. Yes, the Kodesh Baruch Hu can make Nisim. But there's one koyach a human being has for himself, and that's the koyach of Bechira. That's koyach of free choice. And the koyach of free choice and decision making runs all the way through this parasha, and we see a lot of very, very interesting gives and takes in this parasha of how the person's Bechira and his Yerushalayim was able to make him either do the right thing or do the lack of it, do the terribly wrong thing. In the beginning of the parasha, we have here V'yokam Melech Chodosh, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Ches. So we have a new king, Melech Mitzrayim, Asher LeYoda Es Yosef. So what's Peshat Melech Chodosh? So Rashi brings it ready, Rav Shmuel. So Machlekes, Rav Shmuel, what does it mean Melech Chodosh? Chad Oma Chodosh Mamish, one said he was a Melech Chodosh, a real new king. V'chad Oma, Shinizchad Shul Gzeirei Sov. His Gzeirei became new Gzeirei. Now if it looks in the Medrash, it's a very, very fascinating Medrash. The Medrash says, V'zeh shoynoi, Rabbon Omri, Lomo Kor Melech Chodosh, why is it called a Melech Chodosh? V'hadoi, Paroi Atzmai Hoyo, it's the same old Paroi. So Shmois Rabba brings down, Elosh Omra HaMitzrim LeParoi, Bo V'nez Daveg L'Umazu. Let's go and destroy this Umah. So the nation themselves said to Paroi, let's go and destroy these people. Omalehem, so Paroi said back to them, Shaitim atim, you fools. Act achshav, until now, Mishlehem ono ichlim, we've been eating from them. We've been enjoying their life. What they've given us, the wealth that we have, is only based because of them. Yosef at Tzadik. Veheich nizdavik lehem, how is it possible now that we can go along and oppress them? Ilula Yosef lo yehoyachayim, heyinuchayim, if not for Yosef, we wouldn't be alive today. Kaven shlei shamalehem, since Paroi did not listen to them, hoyriduhu mikisoi shlei shechadoshim, they demoted Paroi for 3 months. Paroi no longer was a king for 3 months. Ad sha'omalehem, until after 3 months he couldn't take anymore, and he said, kol mash atin reitzim harini imchem, whatever you want, I'm with you. Vehishivu oisoi, and then put him back on his, back to his position. Lefikoch kisir v'yokom melechadosh, and that's why it says there's a new king. In other words, it was for 3 months Paroi resigned. Resigned, I'm not doing anything against Klal Yisrael because I have a Koras HaToiv to Yosef. And he gave up his kavod, he gave up his power, he gave up his position, everything, his wealth, because he could not do something bad against Klal Yisrael. After 3 months, he couldn't anymore and he came back. So that's one case where a person is ultimately, Paroi had good middos to an extent, but eventually he gave up, he fell through, he didn't manage to pull himself out of this. However, in the same parasha we have the Mialdos. We have Paro's plot was to get rid of, annihilate the male part of Klal Yisrael, and he says the Mialdos are Ivros, he says to them, Vayoyme, Pasuk Tezayim, Vayaledchem Esi Ivros, Reisim Alev Noim, if you see, when you see the woman about to give birth, in Ben Hu, if it's a son, Vamita Moisom, kill them, Vimbasi, Vachoyo, and if it's a daughter, let her live. Vatirena hamialdis eso elikim, and mialdis fear the Kodesh Baruch Hu, osu kashadib alei malach mitzrayim vatachin eso ilolim. And they did not in any way listen to Malach Mitzrayim, in fact, they helped Klal Yisrael have even more children, right? So here we see, they're not listening. Next pasuk, v'yikra melech mitzrayim mialdis v'yim alehem adu'a asisim lova azeh vatachin eso ilolim. In other words, Paroi is exerting pressure, immense pressure on the mialdis. In those times, you can just kill someone with the snap of your finger. Right? And these Mialdos were told clearly by Paroi to kill them, and Paroi didn't kill them. So they come with some lame excuse. I don't know why Paroi took it, but But they didn't capitulate, they did not give up, they did not fall through. What is the difference between the two? Why was it that when Paroi was put under pressure, although he started off meaning well, and actually he seemed like quite a nice person, without Korset Toiv, after a few months he collapsed, and Mialdo is also put under pressure, and it didn't collapse, and they kept going. What's the difference? So Reb Chaim Kaufman used to say like this, because there's one few words that's missing, that people don't focus on. Vatirena ha-Mialdus esodekim. That Mialdus had Yiras Shamayim. He said like this, there are two kinds of people. There are people who are born with naturally good midas, and there's plenty of people like that. You know, there's plenty of goyim that are born with very, very good midas. They're kind, they're compassionate, they're patient. They've got very good midas. And they do acts of good because that is what they're naturally drawn to do. Mitzad sheni, on the other hand, there are plenty of people who are born with not good midas. They have gaiva, they have haughtiness, they have taiva, they have kavod, they're people with a lot of temptations. However, they rein them in. They control them because they have Yiras Shamayim. I cannot do this because that is not Ratzon Hashem. And therefore both of them, both kinds of people, ultimately look very similar. Both of them are carrying on in one direction, behaving themselves, doing good, keeping away from bad, and they seem very similar. When is there going to be a situation where one of them is going to fall apart and the other one will keep going? That is where ultimately they're put in a position where their own position in life, their own gains, as far as they are concerned, they're going to lose out a lot by doing the right thing. They themselves are going to suffer if they do the right thing. That is where you're going to see a split between those two personalities. Where the person does good because he's naturally good, where he gets pressured, and he's going to see that he himself is going to suffer terribly if he does the right thing, then this person is not going to be able to do the right thing. His nature will tell him, you've got to look after number one, you've got to look after yourself. A person who is a real Yirei Shemayim, however, a person who is totally runs his life by the dictates of the Torah, with Emunah and Betochen and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then whatever Nisoyin comes his way, he will run his life according to Ratzon Hashem, however difficult it is for him to make that decision. So Paroi had naturally good midas. He may have been born better than Shifra and Pur, we don't know. He may have born with better genetics than Shifra and Pur within good midas, we don't know. But he did not have the Yiras Shamayim. And therefore when pressure came, he fell apart and he said, do whatever you want. And Paroi came, this terrible, terrible achzor, this terrible, terribly cruel dictator, who eventually took Jewish children and slaughtered them, and bathed in their blood. And on the other hand, Vatirena ha-Meyaldis ha-Selekin, the Yiras Shamayim of the Meyaldis, the Yiras Shamayim of these midwives, who were simple women, weren't sophisticated, simple women. They did what they did. They did what they had to do because they had Yiras Shamayim, and no pressure could take them away from that. That is who they listened to as Rebbeinu Shlomo, and that's it. And therefore, no pressure in the world can make them do anything wrong. And therefore, we see from here that the decision a person comes out with when push comes to shove is based on his levels of Yiras Shamayim. The bechira a person will choose from good or bad in difficult situations is when he is pushed. When he has Yiras Shamayim, he'll do the right thing. When he has no Yiras Shamayim, he will ultimately, for sure, do the wrong thing. We see later on the parasha the same thing. We see later on HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to Moshe Rabbeinu. And one of the signs HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows Moshe Rabbeinu is a sign with a stick and the snake. Pasuk says in Perek Dalad, Pasuk Beis, V'yemei lov Hashem, ma ze biyotcho? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu, what's it in your hand? V'yemei mate, it's a stick. V'yemei, he says, v'hashlichehu arzo, throw it to the ground. V'yashlichehu arzo, threw it to the ground. V'yihila nochosh, it turned into a snake. V'yonos Moshe meponov, and Moshe was terrified, he ran away. Got this big snake, his stick turns into a snake, very scary looking snake. Moshe is terrified, he runs. Hayoyim HaShem HaMoshe, Pasuk Dalud, Shlach Yodcho, go grab the snake. ve'echoz biznovoi, and hold on to his tail. Vayishlach yodoi, Moshe stretched out his hand, vayachazek boy, and he held on to it, vayihi lemata bekapoi, and became back a stick into his hand. So the Bala Musa all ask, if Moshe Rabbeinu was so terrified, why didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu first turn it into a stick again, and then Moshe should pick it up? Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu make Moshe Rabbeinu take the snake and hold onto his tail, when clearly Moshe Rabbeinu was terrified? He ran away. Hashem said, no, I want you to go along to the snake now, get his tail and hold on to it, it'll turn back into a matte. What are you teaching over here? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu could change a matte into a snake and snake into a matte, it's a nis. Fine. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu will teach. But Moshe Rabbeinu was scared. Take away his fear, make it into a matte, then tell Moshe Rabbeinu to pick it up again. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu have to pick up the snake and then turns into a matter? So the Bala Musa says, I've heard this from various different Bala Musa. The Bala Musa say like this, that as you know, the Nochosh always represents the Yetzer Hara, always represents evil, always represents Taiva, always represents the Yetzer Hara. Yeah? The stick, on the other hand, the matter, is stability. It's stability. You lean on it. People in old times, everyone used to walk around with a stick. You lean on it. It's your stability. In other words, on one hand, you have the Nochosh, which is the Yetzer Hara. On the other hand, you have your stability. You have your Yirah Shamayim. You have your Emunah. You have your Bitochen. You have where you are holding in your levels of Ruchnius. So you have one against the other. Sometimes a person believes that they are doing very well with a Yirah Shamayim. They're holding. They're davening. They're learning. They're doing straight business. And they don't realize that in fact they aren't doing that well. It's only because they haven't been faced with serious nisyonos. That is why they are what they think they are. Once a person is thrown in a soyun, a difficult nisyon, then sometimes his people find that they're way off the mark, that they really are not holding b'chlal where they think they are. They're talking the talk and walking the walk, but they really are very far away. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu, you have a matter. First lesson in Klal Yisrael. As a teacher, you have to know this lesson, Moshe Rabbeinu. You have a matter, you have a stick. You have this stability. You have where you are holding in Ruchnius. Take the stick and let it fall. In other words, sometimes the stability slips. The stability where you have slips. And suddenly you see that what you believe is Ruchnius, what you believe is firm and secure and you're doing well, is actually a Nochosh. Is actually a Yetzer Hara. Is actually you are not controlling him, he's controlling you. And you're petrified, you're terrified, you run away. You realize that you're nowhere holding where you're holding. Again, Moshe Rabbeinu is different. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is teaching him, within human nature, a person can have a stick, relying on stability, you let it fall, you let it slip to the ground, and you see it's a Nochosh. You see it really not holding that way. You really, it is a Yetzer Hara. You are controlled by the Yetzer Hara. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, don't be afraid. No. Grab on to the snake. Grab onto the Yetzer Hara. Take its tail and control it. Take it back in your hand. Take it in hand again. And if you take it back in hand and fight against the Yetzer Hara, it'll turn back and become stable. You can actually grow through your Nesoyin. You can become greater through the Nesoyin. If you see how you fell this time, you won't fall next time, that's greatness. Because a Baal Tshuva knows where he's been. He knows his mistakes. A tzaddik may not know that he's bechlal. He may think he's a tzaddik, but he's not. And therefore, take the snake, take the Yetzer Hara, put it into your hand, and you can actually grow through Nesoyin. You can be getting more Yirah Shamayim through what you thought ultimately was something you've got to be afraid of. The Satmar Rav, by the way, says, if it's V'yokam Melech Chodosh, yeah, V'yokam Melech Chodosh HaMitzrayim, V'yokam Melech Chodosh translated to me, I don't have that art score translated, V'yokam Melech Chodosh, and a new king arose, right? So Rashi says, V'chad Omer Sh'nishad Sh'u Gzeiroisov, this Gzeiros became Chodosh. Asa Satmar Rav, no, sorry, next one. Asher lo yoda es Yosef, he did not know Yosef, says Rashi. Asa atzmoi ki'ilu lo yoda, he made himself as if he never knew. Asks the Satmar Rav, that's not pshat in the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Asher lo yoda es Yosef, who did not know Yosef. Says Rashi, ki'ilu lo yoda es Yosef, it's as if he never knew Yosef. The Pasuk should say that, that's what the Pasuk means, it should say, Yochum el Chosh, Asher ki'ilu lo yoda es Yosef. Why Asher Lyodis Yosef never knew Yosef? Ki'ilu, as if. He really did. The Perush in Rashi is not like the Pasuk. Says the Satmarov, you know why? Because you begin by Ki'ilu lo yodeis Yosef, as if you don't. And you lie to yourself again and again until Asher lo yodeis Yosef, you actually believe your own lies. Started off Ki'ilu lo yoda, you started off as if you never knew. Eventually you believe your lie so much that actually lo yoda, he did not know who Yosef was. You can actually make yourself believe your own lies. A person can get so warped by their own miscalculations, you can actually believe what you're doing is absolutely 100% true. We see many, many calculations in this week's parasha, where a person calculated, and it even meant for the sake of Ribbono Shel Olam, it even meant well, and because they were misguided, what terrible, terrible things could have happened in this week's parasha. Vayokem Melech Chodosh, not Melech Melech, sorry. Vayikach Ish Mibeis Levi. You all know this, this medrash. Vayelech Ish Mibeis Levi, Yikach Ispas Levi. The Ish from Beis Levi went out. Who's the Ish from Beis Levi?
Amram.
Amram. Who did he go out and take?
Yecheved.
So what's the Yelech? He went. Says the Gemara, Omar Rav Yehuda Bar Zevina, the Gemara in Sotah of Yud Beis, Shaholach Ba'atzas Bitoi. He went to the eighth of his daughter. So Gemara says, Amram was God Lador Hoya. When Pari says, Kol HaBen Eyilat HaYor Tashichu, all the sons you got to throw into the Yor, through the river, Omar Lashov, Omar Avinu, what are we wasting our time for? Omad v'girish es ishtoi. Amram divorced his wife. There's no point being together if your children are going to be killed. Omdu kulam v'girish es nashiseim. All the men in Klal Yisrael stood up and divorced their wives. Omru loy bitoi. So he had this precocious little daughter, Miriam, said to her father, Daddy, Abba, gzeiros chayyesu mishel paro. You're worse than Hitler. Yeah, you're worse than Paro. Why? She paro le goza el azcharim. Paro only made gzeir on azcharim. Va'ato gzaot al azcharim on the cavus. Made on azcharim on the cavus. So always, you know, again, you hear kids saying that, you give a good punch, right? No. So he said, what happened was, he says, you're right, you're absolutely correct. Omad v'hichses ishtoi, he took back his wife. Omdu kulon v'hichses nashisayim. Everyone went and took back their wives. Says the Chofetz Chaim. Says the Chofetz Chaim. And what happened if Miriam would not have corrected her father's decision? What would have happened then? It would have been the end of Klal Yisrael. That's it. And because she followed the advice, because he was willing to listen, that he made the wrong decision from his precocious little daughter, who said he worse than Pari. Don't get more, you know, more disrespectful than that. But he didn't. He didn't push it aside. He listened to her, and he went and he made a U-turn, a massive, massive recalculation. Yeah, how embarrassing it must have been. He takes his wife back now. Oh, everyone starts taking the wife back. It must have been a huge, huge... this wasn't something, a small decision. But he's willing to be changed because he realized he made a mistake. And because of that, he was zeicha to have a Moshe Rabbeinu. A Moshe Rabbeinu came out from him, who was Mashiach Shel Yisrael, who was a little bit less than Rabbeinu Shel Olam. That's who he was zeicha to. Yeah, same story we find with Chizkiyahu HaMelech, never wanted to get married. Why? Because he saw with Nevoah that Menashe is going to come out from him. So Yishayahu Novi said to him, Bahadi kav shidrachman olam aloch. Why did he get involved in the Kosh Baruch Hu's Cheshbonus? And he had a child called?
Menashe.
No. Who's his wife? Yishayahu HaMelech. Shalom ne'emar lo'ikom k'moyu v'achrov lo'yeh. There was never a king as great as Yishayahu HaMelech. Yishayahu HaMelech had a son called Menashe. But he had the greatest child. We don't know the calculations. We don't know. We got to do what we have to do. You start calculating. You can do as much calculating as you want. Rabbeinu Shel Olam, this expression Yiddish, Mensch tracht und Gott lacht. A person thinks and Kodesh Baruch Hu laughs. This week's parasha, right? Paro sees Ba'at Stigninus. He sees that the Mashiach Shel Yisrael is going to be born soon. So what does he do? He kills every single boy he throws into the river. Besides one. And that one, okay, he can make an exception. And that one, he's taken and he himself finances his education and his clothing. And, you know, he's his little pet boy, right? But everybody else, he's going to get in the river. That is an actual one that he was supposed to have killed. And he brings him up and he pays for his education, and he even finds a Jewish woman, yeah, and he pays a Jewish woman to feed him, which happens to be his mother. You can calculate. It's impossible. It's impossible. Later on, we find the dangers of calculation. The Pasuk says, it's an unbelievable medrash, we talked about this a few years back. Vayoel Moshe, what does Vayoel mean?
Stuck around.
Vayoel means Loshon Shavua. In Perek Beis, Pasuk Chof Aleph. This is with the parasha of Moshe finding his shidduch. Vayoel Moshe sheva sesa'ish v'itin esparibah to the Moshe. What's Vayoel mean? Vayoel is brought down a medrash. It's Loshon of Shavuah. Ein Vayoel Elo Loshon Shavuah. Shnema Vayoel Sholes Ha'om Lemo. And it's medrash bring different rayas. What is going on over here? So medrash brings down. B'shosh Om Moshe Yisrei Teini Tzipora B'tcha Le'isha. When Yisrei said to Moshe said to Yisrei, give me Tzipora as a wife. Om Elo Yisrei. You all know this medrash, yeah? Yisrei said to Moshe Rabbeinu, fine, got one condition. Kabel Olecha Dovaze, Sha'im Olecha, accept upon yourself this thing I tell you. Vani Noisna Lecha Le'isha, fine, with greatest pleasure, one small condition. Om Eloi Mahu, Moshe Rabbeinu said to Yisrei, what is it? Om Eloi Ben, Sha'yeh Lecha Tchila, Heyeh L'Avodah Zarah. The first son that you have should be L'Avodah Zarah. Fine. Mikan ve'eleich l'shem shemayim. After that, you can do what you want. But the first son I want to take for Avodah Zarah. Kibbal alof, Moshe Rabbeinu accepted it. Omaloi hirshpiali. So, Yisrael says, I need a shvua for this. Vayishav aloi, Moshe Rabbeinu made a shvua, shnema vayoel Moshe. And look, Yoel is loshen of shvua. Ask the Chedusha Harim, what's going on over here? What's going on? First of all, we're talking about a stage now that Yisrael himself has got rid of all the Avodah Zarah. The reason why there's a bit of a bit of a fight by the Be'er is because Yisrael had denounced all the Avodah Zarah and people were against him. So at that stage, he'd already known that Kodesh Baruch Hu is the Elikim, and therefore he's given up all the Avodah Zarah. What is he trying to do now by capture Moshe Rabbeinu's child Avodah Zarah? He knows it's all foolish. Secondly, how on earth did Moshe Rabbeinu agree to this? That his child should be the Avodah Zarah. What's going on? Not only that, the parasha says later on, Lefikol chiktim ha-malach larigas Moshe. Later on in the parasha, Moshe Rabbeinu did not do bris mila to his child, and that's why the malach wanted to kill him. And therefore, miyah, v'tikach tzipoy ritzor, v'tichros is orlas b'no. Yeah? And she took the tzor, why? Because Moshe Rabbeinu did not do bris mila, because this is part of the condition, he does not do bris mila to his child. What's going on over here? What's going on? Says the Chedush Orim, Yisroi knew every single Avodah Zarah. He was the walking encyclopedia of Avodah Zarah. He had a doctorate in every single Avodah Zarah. He knew it all. Chas v'shalom, the last thing he wanted was for his grandchild to follow all the foolishness that he's thrown away. That's poshut. There's no way he wanted his grandchild to be an Avodah Zarah. Not a chance. What did he want? He didn't want his grandchild to be brainwashed. He wanted him to take him on a tour through every Avodah Zarah and reach the logical conclusion yourself. I'll take you and I'll show you why this Avodah Zarah looks attractive. I'll show you all the flaws. And I'll show you why this is a wrong one. Right, let's start the next one. You think this looks good? Do you think this what they're saying over here is great? Ah, I'll show you why. I'll show you all the problems with this. And he'll take him through every Avodah Zarah until he'll reach the logical conclusion that Yisrael has reached, and ultimately he will see the Rabbeinu Shalom is Ati Yodati. Now I know that Kosh Baruch is Yor Elikim. I know Rabbeinu Shalom is everything. By doing so, you're giving a child an education that the child will know that there's nothing else out there. The child will know that Rabbeinu Shalom is the one, not because I've been taught that, but because I chose that. It is my own choice because I know that is the right thing. Wonderful! And that Yisrael will teach him first-hand information. And Moshe Rabbeinu was willing to allow, if that's a condition of marriage, and Yisrael is a teacher, okay, I'll allow that to be done. Moshe Rabbeinu did not do bris mila. Because Bris Mila, according to the Rambam, the Chinuch, is Mema'it Taiva. It takes away the Taiva of different, of Taiva of Znus. It diminishes it's a supernatural way of dealing with one's own emotions. No, a person has to logically and intellectually come to conclusion himself. Therefore, Moshe did not do Bris Mila. It all seems great. What happened to Gershon? Fantastic. On the Levim. But what happened to his son? Gershon's son. Gershon's son was an Oivet Avodah Zorah. Yonason ben Gershon, the Mora brings down, Hiskir Atzmoel Avodah Zorah Shel Bnei Don. He became hired out to Avodah Zorah Bnei Don. Calculating, even with good rebbes, you're dealing there with Avodah Zorah, you're dealing there with toxic waste. You know, the anti-missionary, it's all good if a person needs to and is mamash b'kuach nefesh. So you have to find the heter sometimes. But to get involved in it for the intellectual pursuit and find out why Yoshki is not the right one, or why Harry Kishka is a complete farce, and why this and what, you postulate first it's bittul Torah, and second of all, you're dealing with toxic waste. You're dealing here with bad smelling stuff, it rubs off, it leaves a smell on your clothes. And therefore, with all the calculations, you don't know how that will affect you or your grandchildren. You have to live with a munat pshuta. A person can ask questions. A person can investigate why this is so. But ultimately it's ein kilakenu, ein kadonenu, ein kamalkenu, ein kamalkenu, then michalakenu. Then you can start asking questions. You should know the Rambam wrote Mor Nevuchim, which is a sefer, which was a very, very deep sefer in Hashkofa and in asking the very principles of Torah. And that was meant for Tamid HaChachamim to learn. And the Rishonim were very against it, were very upset with it, because it may get into the wrong hands. And people will understand the questions and may not understand the answers. There's answers to everything. But the problem is, people may remain with the questions. It sometimes is better to live with the Munah Pshuta. Live with the Munah Pshuta. Calculating is a fantastic thing with a Rebbe like Yisrael, but who knows what effects it will have for generations later. Not only is it dangerous, it's poshut, ridiculous. In a parasha it talks about Moshe Rabbeinu meeting his father-in-law, future, v'tavoyna al Ra'ul Avim. So he's born to Ra'ul, which is Yisroi. V'yoyma madua mahartim boi hayoim. He says to his daughters, how come he came back so quickly? V'tomaranan, they said back, Ish Mitzri hitzilonu mi'adaroim. And Ish Mitzri saved us from the hands of those shepherds. He gave to feed the tzoyim. Okay, Ish Mitzri. Who's this Ish Mitzri? Moshe Rabbeinu. Yeah, who's this Ish Mitzri? Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Mefarshim all ask, how can you possibly say that Moshe Rabbeinu is called the Ish Mitzri? Because he dressed like a Mitzri. Ish Mitzri means he was a Mahus. He was a Mitzri person. What's the idea behind that? So the Medrash says something very interesting. And Zohar Kodesh says it the same as well. The Medrash brings a Medrash Tanchuma. V'chi b'dmus ish mitzri hoya Moshe, did Moshe behave like an ish mitzri? Ela ilulei ish mitzri shaharag Moshe loy hoya nichnas l'midyon. What happened here? How did Moshe Rabbeinu get to where he was? He said, Moshe le'echol sh'noshchol arod. A person got bitten by a snake. For he arot lost his ragla v'toych ha'mayim. And he ran as fast as he could to the river to bathe, to get rid of the bite. V'nichnas b'hoi went into the river. V'ro tinuk echod shoyu sheker b'mayim. He saw a child drowning. V'sholach yodei v'helo oisai, and he went and he saved the child. Omaloi hatinuk, and the child said to him, Lulai ato hayisim eis, if it was not for you, I would have died. Omaloi, he said to him, Loi ani hitzalticha, I never saved you. Elo oisai harosh nishchani. This snake that I ran away from, that's who saved me. In other words, don't thank me, thank the snake. Moshe Rabbeinu said to these daughters of Yisroi, why did I save you? Don't thank me. Thank the Mitzri that I killed. And because of that, I had to run away to Midian because I was almost killed by Paroi. That's who you have to thank. Ish Mitzri at Tzilonami Oda means that Ish Mitzri, the Hashkocha Protis of Moshe Rabbeinu killing a Ish Mitzri, doing what he's supposed to be doing to save a Jew being attacked, And then he's Moshe Nefesh. And then he gets taken to Paro. Paro tries to kill him and Moshe escapes. And now he comes to Midian and now he saves the daughters. It all goes back to the case of the Ishmitzri. So thanks to thank the Ishmitzri. Say the Bana Musa, look at this. Look at this Ashkocha Protis over here. Moshe Rabbeinu, if we would be standing there, we'd see Moshe Rabbeinu in his very exalted position, in a very privileged position. There he was living in Paro's home, undisturbed. He could have anything he wanted, and he goes out to see how his brothers are suffering. And he sees a Mitzri attacking another Jew. And he sees with his Ruach HaKodesh, and he goes and he kills a Mitzri to save the Jew. And he gets caught for it. He gets massacred, he gets taken to the king. What Mesiris Nefesh? Yeah, what Avas Yisrael? And what happens there? He almost gets killed. And not only that, now Nebuchadnezzar has to go through the war of being killed. He has to run away, leave his family behind, leave his position behind, leave his friends behind, leave everything behind, he runs to Midian. Oy, Nebuch, what a terrible thing. What a bad calculation, Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, where are you? Moshe Rabbeinu is doing all that, and Moshe Rabbeinu can find his shidduch in Midian. Ish Mitzri Hitzilonu, if it was not for the Ish Mitzri, but if not Moshe Rabbeinu doing that in the Siris Nefesh, he never have run away, he never have found his wife to pour in Midian. Why else would he be in Midian? What for? And therefore, you can make any calculation you want, but Rabbeinu Shleilam ultimately is going to make a person's life revolve around the MS, and if you do the right thing, Rabbeinu Shleilam will make sure that at the end you'll only gain. You know, it's like a person coming into a shul, and he's never been to the shul before, and he's a bit of a shmerel, and he hears that the chazan is davening very loud. Yeah, you should serve other gods, you should bow down to them. He runs up, apricots him! I went to that shul, you hear what these people are talking about. Stay a little bit longer, you'll understand. Within context, what's going on. We're living in such a short tunnel vision. We're living in a world where we see physicalities. Rabbeinu Shlomo runs it. And therefore, Ish Mitzri, you can make calculations. How can Rabbeinu Shlomo do this? Must be wrong. No, Moshe Rabbeinu found his shidduch through the Ish Mitzri, through the fact he was Moshe Nefesh through that. I want to finish off with quickly two more vetlach. Okay, a person who does not have Yerushalayim, a person does not have Emunah and Betochen, a person who does not have the idea and the ideals that Rabbeinu Shleilam has to make his life run, and without that he is lost. He has such a difficult life. But Olam Hazeh, I'm not even talking about Olam Abon, Olam Hazeh. You know, I just heard it on the radio today that they made research after the war in the previous war now in Gaza. The differences between the amount of stress the Bedouins went through and Jews on different levels of religious belief went through during the war. And he said the Bedouins emotionally suffered absolutely terribly by this. He said, as you moved along, this was a Chilani program, as you moved along the various different levels of more and more frum, the stress that young children went through was much, much less. Because they believe that there's somebody or something controlling it all from above. HaKadosh Baruch is in control. There is something going to control this. And therefore, if we're supposed to die, we'll die. And if we're not, nothing can happen to us. And we've got to daven that, Be'ez Hashem, we are in the group of people not going to die. And it's trained the children, the young children, 5, 6, 7-year-olds, were trained that way of thinking, and they live in a world where they actually lived in Olam Hazeh in a different way. On the other hand, people who don't have the Rabbeinu Shleilam can be so manipulated by worry and self-destructive patterns, they can completely drive themselves crazy. There's a beautiful vort Reb Chaim Kaufman said over, in the name of... excuse me a second... In the name of Rabbi Yitzchak Wallerstein, he was a Talmud of the Alter von Avarduk and a brother-in-law of Rabbi Chaim Shmulevitz. He said, look in the parasha. You know, you've all done the Gemaras of Sofik, right? If you have a doubt. Not sure whether you're not sure whether you walked down the road that there was a person who's Tommy there. So if it's a Rosh Hashanah, it's one thing, it's Rosh Hashanah, something else, dinner of Sofik. Then you have something called the Svek Sveker. A Sofik of a Sofik. And this all has all different salachas. Listen to this. Paro says to his nation, okay, conflicts with the first Medrash, okay, but Paro says to his nation, Rabbi Sai, we've got to annihilate Klal Yisrael. The people say back to him, why? So Pari said a whole cheshbon. I'll explain to you why, very simply. He says to his nation, Hine am b'nei Yisrael rav v'otzul mimenu. Klal Yisrael are rav, or many, v'otzul and stronger than us. Hava nishak m'loi. Let's be cleverer than them. Pen yirbet, perhaps they will be very multiple. For hoyo ki sikrena mochama, and when mochama will come along, v'noisav gam hu al sineinu, they'll join up with our enemies, v'nil chabonu, and they'll fight against us, v'olim in ha'oretz, and they will kick us out. Okay, so let's do whatever we need to do. Says Rabbi Yitzchak Wallerstein, this is ridiculous. Let's go through this carefully. He says, perhaps there'll be so many. Hovon is hakeli pen yirbet, perhaps there'll be so many of them. They'll be so multiple that they'll overpopulate us. Why should that be? You're talking about Mitzrayim was a massive, huge empire. So Klal Yisrael came in and Shishu v'keres echad. Okay, a few hundred thousand. But pen yirbet, perhaps they're going to overpower us, and perhaps not. So Zofik, 50-50 chance. Next. V'hoya ki sikrena mochama, and a war will start. And then what will happen? And maybe a war won't start. Fine. And even if a war does start, v'noisav gam hu al seinenu, they'll join up with our enemies. And maybe they won't join up with our enemies. Maybe they'll fight on our side. Not only that, even if they may not be liking us, yeah, they may join up mentally with our enemies, but who said they'll fight us? No, but maybe they will. V'nilchabonu, maybe they'll actually fight us. Maybe not. V'olam in ha'oretz, and maybe they'll win us and kick us out. So maybe there'll be so many. Maybe there'll be war. Maybe they will join up with their enemies. Maybe they'll fight us, and maybe we will lose. Maybe, 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 maybe. Sofik, 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 svek, sveka. Five svekas over here. Sofik, 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 svek, sveka. And because of that, he was able to manipulate his nation to do the most terrible atrocities to his nation. Thank you. Yeah? That is a koyach of Ra. Pen, 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 pen. What happens if? How many of us go through our lives without emun and betochen? And we can't do this because if we do this, then perhaps we won't find a good job. Therefore, I've got to leave yeshiva early. If I leave yeshiva early, you know, I've got a seder now. But if I leave on time, then maybe the bus will be late. And if the bus will be late, then maybe, even if it's on time, maybe we'll be in traffic. And even if it's on traffic, maybe it'll be very bad traffic. If it's very bad traffic, pen, 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 pen. You've got to take normal decisions and run with them. Not pen, pen, pen. Yeah, it's ridiculous. Finish off with this oral. Moshe Feinstein says, he says, if you look in the parasha, we find something very, very strange. He says, in the middle of all this debate with Paroi and Meyaldos, with the midwives, he said, V'tirena Meyaldos says, again, the fear of Kodesh Baruch Hu. Yeah? V'yihi ki yiru ha-Meyaldos, and it was, Apostle Chodov, when the Meyaldos feared HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Esadakim, Ve'yas lehem botim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made them houses. What botim are they? Botikuhuna, Levia, Umalchus. Shukurim botim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made them Botikuhuna, Levia, Malchus. Moshe, Rabbeinu was Leviim, Aaron, Akoyin, yeah, and, of course, Malchus. Who is Malchus?
Miriam
went from Miriam, who was married Kolev, who was from Shevet Yehuda. Right? So you had Koinim, Levim, and Melucha came from that. Says Ramesha, where else in the Torah do we see so clearly a normal person getting schar? In fact, we know schar mitzvah b'hai al-meleka. Yeah, Kodesh Baruch Hu does not give schar in this world. And therefore, why does it say in this posuk, they did great stuff, they had fear of Kodesh Baruch Hu, Kodesh Baruch Hu gave them batim? You don't have schar in this world. The schar that we get in this world is not the real schar. So why is the Pasuk say they did this, therefore they got that? It's not therefore they got that. They don't get schar. The schar doesn't equal a different currency. So what's schar? Why is the Pasuk tell us that they got this schar? You don't get schar in Olam Hazeh for the mitzvahs you do. That is careful Olam Haboy. You may get some crumbs. But it's not. The Pasuk is telling me because they did this, they got this schar. Says Ramesha, it is not schar. I'll give you a moshel. If a person is a bodybuilder and he gets big muscles, it's not schar for doing the bodybuilding. It's a consequence. It is natural that one builds muscles by bodybuilding. He says this schar means reward. Reward means from the outside One gets paid for something. But it's not a natural consequence. Over here, with the Meyaldus, when a person has Yirah Shemayim, it is not a schar, it's not outside reward that he builds up homes of Kohenim, Levim, and Malochim. It is a natural consequence. A Kohen and a Levi are people who are Bnei Torah, people who are leading Klal Yisrael, people who are supposed to be Evdei Hashem, supposed to be the Shliach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shliach of Klal Yisrael. If a person has a mother who is a Yirei Shemayim, a person has a mother who bases her decisions only on Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then naturally her children are going to be fitting to become Kohenim and Levim. It's not a reward, it's a consequence. If a mother is able to run her life by focusing on what has to be done and ignoring the factors that are scary, she will have children who are going to be leaders. She's going to have a child who's going to be a king. The Yas Lehem Botim was not schar, it was a consequence. Because they had Yiras Hashem, because they had a Munna, then ultimately it's natural that they should actually have Botim, that children should be Kohenim, Levim, and Malochim. So this is this week's parasha. We've seen this week's parasha many, many things about decision making. We see firstly, that ultimately decisions one makes are based on Yiras Shemayim. It's not based on human nature. When push comes to shove, one doesn't know what one is until one actually sometimes falls, and then one sees that what one relies on is actually the nochosh. We've got to grab the tail and take it into hand, and it can become back as actually grow stronger from the nesoyim. Even with Yiras Shemayim, calculating can be very, very dangerous when there's lack of clarity. Amram made the world's worst decision. He almost wiped out Klal Yisrael. He was willing to go back on track by his precocious daughter, that who said to him, "You're worse than Pari." He's willing to listen, and he went back on track. Sometimes calculating can be what seems like a very, very wonderful thing at this stage. But sometimes, if one calculates too much, and one goes into calculations which are beyond what we should be doing, like Yisro teaching Gershom, Gershom may be fine, but his children can suffer. That little garin, that little tiny kernel of doubt can go in to the future generations, and Nebuch, the grandchild of Moshe Rabbeinu, hide himself out to become a priest for Avodah Zarah. Sometimes calculating is stupid. It's ridiculous. We cannot possibly see every single dimension. Here we have Moshe Rabbeinu doing what's right, killing the Mitzri, and he runs away. And look at this! Where's Rabbeinu Shleilam? Moshe Rabbeinu did what he's supposed to do, and where's Rabbeinu Shleilam? Wrong calculation. Moshe Rabbeinu only got his shidduch by doing what he had to do. And therefore, in Mitzrayim, who never had found Sipira, he had to run away to Golos, and Ish Mitzri Etzonam Yodom. Only through what doing what was right, HaKadosh Baruch Hu recalculates and changes the course of action and comes out with the right conclusion. If one doesn't rely on Rabbeinu Shleilam, and one does make calculations, one can actually end up completely doubting and self-doubting, pen, like Pari. What happens if, suffix, vexveka? And naturally, if a person focuses on Yiras Shemayim, and focuses on Emun and Betochen, and brings up his children in that way, then it's not schar, it's not a reward, it is natural that you'll have children who are focused, children who are straight, children who, Be'ez Hashem, will become leaders, will become Kohenim, Levim, Bnei Torah, leaders in Klal Yisrael, Be'ez Hashem.